In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So we have any Jeopardy fans in the house? Anybody here watch Jeopardy? Okay. So you know, for those of you who don't, it's like a quiz show, and they ask you all these questions, and then you know you have to kind of get the answer. And at the end, they have final Jeopardy. And so that's when the tough questions get asked. Marion and I watch it nearly every night. She gets her fair share, and I'm like that blind squirrel. Every once in a while, I get the chestnut, you know. Okay, so we're going to play Final Jeopardy, okay? And this is where you have to bet all your money or as much as you can. How many want to play this now? I got to raise your hands. Okay, so you have to be honest. You can't change your answer. Here's the Final Jeopardy question. When David and his men entered the temple and ate the consecrated bread, who was the high priest? Steve, can we get a little Jeopardy? Pens down. All right. Do we have any brave souls who want to take a shot at this? Okay, Paul.
Abiathar.
Okay, so Abiathar. So bet the ranch. Paul is betting the ranch on Abiathar. Okay, somebody else. Yes, sir.
David
was the high priest. Somebody else. How about Saul? Okay. And the winner is no one. Oh. Is that a problem for no one to be right? What did our gospel say this morning? That's probably where Paul got his answer. I'm thinking. What does Jesus say? Everybody, grab it. David enters the temple, ate the bread, and who was the high priest? Take a shot here. It's in the gospel. Nate, you heard the gospel this morning. I'm surprised you're not right there with it. Oh, I was sleeping. Go ahead. Abiathar, his name's getting murdered tonight. Abiathar is what? Okay. What does that say? Jesus says it was Abiathar. Jesus is wrong.
Whoa.
Uh-oh. That's going to take a step back here. What do we do when Jesus is wrong? So I have the Bible. The incident is reported faithfully in 1 Samuel chapter 21. And David came to Nob to Ahimelech, the priest. And it goes in and tells a story about Ahimelech, the high priest, giving David the holy bread to consume because David was fleeing from Saul. Saul wanted to kill him. So Saul was involved. I know. But Jesus got it wrong. What are we going to do about that? Do people see the problem here? Because we have a way of looking at this holy book, or some Christians still, and saying, every last living word in this book is right. Every last living word in this book is true. So what do we do when the Bible gets it wrong? Any answer?
Blame it on Mark.
David is relentless. He says there's somebody to blame here. And in light, let me just point out that because the story was communicated, it probably wasn't written down until about 20 years after Jesus died and rose from the dead. So in that, you know that game, kid's game of telephone where I tell you something, then you tell Sandy, you tell George, and it goes back, and then what do we get back over on this side? Something may have changed in those 20 years. And they think it's pretty much a scribal error. But while I was researching the reading this week, a certain number of our, you know, good and godly Christian brothers and sisters and their theologians are doing something like, you know, somebody on the is up in front of the stage and something goes wrong and they start doing a lot of theological tap dancing, explaining how this is not a mistake. And they do that with all good intent to serve their understanding of every last living word in the Bible has to be accurate, has to be true, rather than simply saying, you know what, somebody wrote it down wrong. That's why it's showing up this way. And that's not the, I think I was focused this week about what I call people divinizing. That's a big graduate school word, but it means making a god of. Because this is a godly book, it has to be perfect. No, this book emerged is a response to God's inspiration, but this response was the best human response that inspiration evoked. So this is both a godly book and a human book. And when you bring God, who is divine and perfect, with human beings who are, you know, we're not perfect, does that mean this has no value? Indeed not. Let me try to explain it this way. If God, in a sense, this is the story of God's marriage with humankind. God became one with his people. God became one with his church. Let me tell you a story from personal experience. My dad and my mom were married for 48 years. My dad and I didn't agree on a lot of things. I think when I got out of college, he thought I was a communist. But one of the things that my dad communicated, and he never needed to use words for it, is that every day of his life, at least that I saw him, he was in love with my mom. He treasured his wife. My mom, for her part, was in love with my dad till the day he died. And that left its impact on me. That communicated to me a reality. Sometimes the most important things that we share with our kids are not in words. It was that sense of how to treasure your wife. It was about a relationship so loving, I knew I would want one like that in my life. Were they perfect people? And the answer is no. Did they raise perfect kids? Myself aside, no. That was a joke. It was this treasure of an experience, this valuable experience that impacted me. It formed and it shaped the way I thought. It communicated far better than anything they communicated in words. It was a living example. And I find myself ministering and pastoring in a community where we are fortunate to have married couples like that. They know how to treasure each other. They radiate it. There's no question in your mind. And that's a lot more important than being right. It's more important than being precise. Precision. You see, my contention is this. Christianity has no national sport. No, like in America, it's baseball, and Mexico, Argentina, soccer. But I think the national sport of Christianity is arguing. You put half dozen Christians from various denominations in a room, and I give it, within a half an hour, you'll have a flaming argument. And everybody thinks they're right. Let's get back to how you stay married a long time and how you treasure each other. There's something more important than being right, and that's being loving. There's something more important than being right, and that's radiating the presence of God in your life. You have no idea of the harm and the violence, the death and the destruction that human beings will wreak on each other from their sense, an almighty sense of being right. We are never more dangerous as creatures, never more emotionally dangerous, never more physically dangerous than when we act out of our sense of being right. Your marriage doesn't survive like that. There's something more important in a marriage than being right. It's being loving. The same goes with us. Is our way of looking at God or the church, do we have the final and the last word, the absolute clear sense, the definitive sense, past which there is no further understanding? And I promise you, no. You look back in the history of the church, we've been wrong about a lot of stuff. Dreadfully so. There's a lot of stuff in our history that we need to repent. Have we captured any final and full sense of what God is doing in the scriptures? So penetrating that it's not even possible to gain a greater understanding? No. The question is, do we take what's inside this book and get to love? Can we emerge past our sense of righteousness? The last final and sad sentence in our gospel today is the Pharisees who thought they were right got together with the Herodians, their historic opponents, to figure out how they could destroy Jesus. I think that applies to our society. We have entered into a time of such dreadful discourse that wherein I feel I'm right, I can now seek not to respond to my opponent, but to destroy that person, to destroy their personality, their character. Oh, we're dangerous when we think we're right. Is there no higher loyalty that brings us together? It's a big question here. In this country of ours, how is it that we proceed in this environment and stay married to one another for the good of everyone? It's that marriage question keeps coming back, doesn't it? Yeah. So, last word on this is, yeah, you can celebrate being right and remember all the times you were. But unless you can get to loving, you pretty much miss the whole point. You didn't get the final Jeopardy answer. Amen.